Hey everybody, this is David, and today we are going to be talking about some great movie news that dropped last weekend at San Diego Comic-Con, as well as we're going to talk about the Batman The Killing Joke spoiler review, because myself, Derek, and Kevin had the chance to see it. And speaking of Derek and Kevin, I have with me Kevin.
Hey, hello.
And Derek.
Hello, world.
And, so we're going to talk about some... We're going to rush into the trailer reviews first, our thoughts on some trailers that dropped that were really cool, I thought. And our thought on a little nugget that dropped this week after The Killing Joke was released, and then we'll get into The Killing Joke. So let's do this. We'll start off with the first trailer I want to talk about is Kong Skull Island. And as everybody might know, Warner Brothers and Legendary Pictures are doing a monster, giant monster cinematic universe. They already have Pacific Rim. They did Godzilla. And now they have King Kong coming out. And from what I understand, after this movie, they'll have a Godzilla 2 come out. And then they want to do a King Kong versus Godzilla movie, which I'm really excited about. That sounds really cool to me. And let's talk about this Kong trailer. What did we think about it? Derek, you want to start off?
Okay. Well, you actually showed me this trailer. I didn't really look at it previously until you mentioned it for our review. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, the first I kind of felt it was King Kong based on the title. Mm-hmm. But they didn't really show him until the end of the trailer, kind of showing people going to an island in the helicopters. It was kind of interesting if you noticed that when the helicopters were flying in, they showed a dragonfly, kind of like a small insect.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool, showing that the humans are small, like insects. And then they kind of crash land on this island, and then there's this person that says, like, yeah, we're not the only species here. And then you also see some Native Americans, like, on the island as well. And then you get the action shots with the big monster himself. He first appears, not really in a cheesy way. It's more in the background. You just see his large body, which is kind of cool. And then after, you kind of see more of his face at the end. Mm-hmm. It's cool. It definitely is interesting how you mentioned that they're starting a new cinematic universe with these big monsters.
Yep.
Which I think is a great idea, and I think it will be quite successful, especially if we get that big movie at the end, King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
I think that would be quite cool. That would be huge. And yeah, this is a good first step. And it seems like after the Avengers doing their cinematic universe, there's a lot of other cinematic universes popping up. So
yeah,
I guess there would be more to come.
I agree. And I really enjoy the cast in this movie too. I mean, you got Tom Hiddleston, you know, Loki from the Avengers and Thor, and then you also got Samuel Jackson in this movie, so they're reuniting in this one. And we also got John Goodman. And Brie Larson is in this movie too. She was just announced at Comic-Con. She's going to be playing Captain Marvel in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we got three Marvel actors in this movie. This is awesome. Kevin, what did you take away from this movie? Or this trailer?
I enjoyed it. I actually really liked it. Found it very enjoyable. I was going to say I was surprised of John Goodman and Samuel Jackson. And it made me actually more excited for the trailer. And as it went on, I kept getting more excited. I think I agree with Derek, and looking forward to see this movie.
Yep, I agree.
Wait, one more thing to add.
Yep.
I kind of got the vibe of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And they're also saying that this is supposed to be the biggest King Kong on film. Apparently, you know, bigger than the previous Kongs from previous films in the past. So I'm very, because they need to, because if he's going to go up against Godzilla eventually, he needs to, you know, can't be like the size of Godzilla's foot. He has to be a little bit bigger than that.
Yep.
So with that being said, so it sounds like we all enjoyed this trailer. Another really good trailer, I thought. Let's get into Marvel now. Speaking of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Marvel has a really cool movie coming out this November, Doctor Strange. And Kev, we'll start off with you with this one. What did you think of the Doctor Strange trailer?
I actually found it better than the first one. Mm-hmm. It looks like very mystical and has the feel of the original comics, so it's just Steve Ditko's artwork with all the very crazy things happening. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. I really enjoyed it and really liked it. And yeah, I can't wait to see it.
How about you, Derek? Sorry, Derek.
Okay.
Hold on a sec. Come here. Come here. I'll just edit that part out. Okay, let me try that again. Okay, how about you, Derek?
It was actually interesting. It reminds me, again, I like the first trailer, a little bit of some previous movies that we've seen in terms of that cool building effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like collapsing on each other. So I really like that. I forget what movie it was. It was Leonardo DiCaprio. But it was really interesting, and I actually find it to be different than your usual superhero movie, because it is based on magic and you have a magician teleporting, going through different worlds, learning the art of magic. It's refreshing, and I think that a lot of people who are turned off by the usual typicals, like person gets superpowers and then goes off to save the world.
Yeah.
This is a little bit different. This is about more magic and mystic, and then people could really enjoy it. And this is, again, another first for Marvel, beating out a little bit more of the DC competition, because they are introducing their first kind of magician, their first person, and anything could really happen. It's a creative aspect that they could just explore whatever they want. He could go to different dimensions. He could go and do different things. It's really, I don't know. I haven't really read Doctor Strange a lot myself.
Yeah.
But it looks like a cool movie, and you know, Cumberbatch, I think that's his name.
Yep.
Being casted, he was a great choice, smart choice. I think a lot of people agree with that one.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a good one.
I think so too. This entire cast is really great. I agree. Yeah, it's going to be very different from previous Marvel films. You can definitely sense that in the trailers. The movie that you were probably alluding to was probably Inception with the buildings folding on each other. That was just, yeah, I'm really excited to see this movie. Marvel has kicked it out of the park for me all the time. I haven't been disappointed with any of their films. So I'm a huge Marvel fan when it comes to their movies. And this is going to be great. It's not science that we don't understand anymore. This is real magic. That's what's going to be exciting about it. I think even Kevin Feige, the head honcho at Marvel, said that this movie is going to be even introducing the idea of the multiverse, which I'm really excited about. So now we get into some of the DC stuff, guys. This is going to be cool. Let's start off with Wonder Woman. I'll start off with this one. Wonder Woman looked fantastic to me. Looked really great. Started off with this nice opening on the beach, where you see Steve Trevor, played by Chris Pine, who is recently right now in Star Trek Beyond, which was a really good movie, by the way. And such a great actor. And Gal Gadot was there as Wonder Woman. There were some funny moments throughout the trailer. A few funny moments. Not too much. It still looks like it might be a dark gritty movie, maybe because of the World War One setting. This is not in World War Two like Captain America, the First Avenger. This is in World War One, which a lot of people say hasn't really been explored a lot in film. So that's going to be interesting, seeing the difference between World War One and World War Two, because the technology was like the weapons they had was very different back then and stuff like that. So yeah, I really loved it, and even the last scene at the end where they were talking to the woman, and Wonder Woman says, "What's a secretary?" And she's like, "Oh, you know, a secretary is someone that helps whatever and walks around everywhere with him and helps him." And she's like, "Oh, well, where I'm from, that's called slavery." So I thought that was pretty funny. What about you, Derek?
It was very interesting. Great trailer. And I remember it reminds me of that first Wonder Woman animated series that came out. But that movie. The animated movie called Wonder Woman, and I just really like that they're exploring that kind of aspect. The man washes up on the beach, and Wonder Woman gets fascinated with him, and then she goes back to that world where there, it's not the Amazonians, it's more human beings and people. So found that kind of interesting. It was also interesting that they're doing it around World War One, like you said, not really doing a modern kind of Wonder Woman appears in today's time with our own current technology. And she's like, "Whoa, what's a cell phone and what's that?" So it's interesting. So it kind of takes a different approach. And it feels like Thor, because Thor was that Greek god coming in and assimilating to today's era.
The fish out of water story. Yeah.
Yeah. And now you have kind of them going back in time and doing it in a previous era. So it's kind of interesting as well. And yeah, she's really badass. She kicks ass in the trailer, and I'm pretty sure in the movie she does that as well. Mm-hmm. And this is DC's first, actually comic book's first female superhero.
That's right.
On the big screen. Like the very, very first, like, focused as the main character is a female.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of women will definitely like to check this out. And even some guys too. It looks badass. It looks cool. So it's, guys won't be put off as, "Oh, this is girly. This is like a Supergirl," or is like a, you know, a woman's movie, you know, feminists. So I think it would be good to check out, and hopefully it will have ties to the Justice League.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. What about you, Kev?
I can't wait for this film. The trailer was really good, and I really like the, like you said, the World War One aspect. And yeah, it's never really been explored in movies, or at least in superhero films before. So, at least to my knowledge. So I can't really wait to see where they go with that, and how it's portrayed, and just really, really anxious to see this film.
And yeah,
hope it does well.
Yeah, this definitely looks like a big improvement over previous superhero female movies, such as Elektra and Catwoman and Supergirl the movie.
Yeah.
So definitely. This definitely looks like the opposite of those previous films, which I'm really excited about.
Which is why I'm rooting for it, because if it's really done well, it will be one of the first female heroes done well, right? Because it's been very unsuccessful on the big screens, female superheroes.
Yeah. Well, unless you consider Tomb Raider, that was the first one was pretty successful.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not a superhero.
Yeah, it's not really a superhero. But
female lead, the action lead.
What I was also going to add was that what's also very important about this movie is that it has a female director as well directing this, Patty Jenkins, and she was supposed to direct Thor: The Dark World. Which is interesting to note, but Marvel, for some reason, let her go. And apparently, I remember even behind the scenes, they were saying that Natalie Portman was upset about that, because she really wanted to work with her, because she directed a really good indie film called Monster, I believe. And so check that out if you guys want. I don't know where to find it right now. I don't know if it's on Netflix or anything, but yeah, apparently it was really good. So I'm very excited about this movie. And finally, the final trailer that I want to talk about is Justice League. I think we were all very excited when we heard Justice League was shown there. And then I even got even more excited when I found out they dropped the trailer like 10 minutes later. And I'm like, yes! Because I didn't think they would drop the trailer. But I guess they were worried that like something like last year when Suicide Squad's trailer came out too early. I guess they said, you know what, we're not going to take any chances. Let's get the hits right now. Send out the trailer. And yeah, I was really happy about that, because this trailer shows how different this movie is going to be compared to Batman v Superman. And I liked Batman v Superman a lot. I liked the extended version even a little bit more. But I understand the complaints when people say that it was too dark and too serious. I think they did need to lighten it up in some areas, thinking about it. I still really enjoyed the movie, but I get it. I get when people complain about that aspect of the film. It didn't bother me, but I understand. So seeing this trailer used a lot of comedic bits throughout, and it was to show people that, like, look, we're listening to you guys. Here it is. We're making this one a little bit more lighter. It's still going to be dark and gritty in some areas, but we're lighting it up compared to Batman v Superman. Derek, what did you think?
Oh, it was great. I could say the most memorable or interesting part of the trailer is the music. It was very action-packed. The kind of music is something that I've heard before, and so it was kind of cool and really gets you excited and pumped up. And then it first starts off with what many people consider to be a joke kind of superhero, Aquaman.
Yeah.
And they try to, again, reinforce that he's actually cool. He's interesting. He's, you know, mysterious. And I find that's cool. And it seems like Ben Affleck's Batman's taking the lead, taking the charge. Again, kind of like his counterpart at Marvel. He's the Iron Man kind of character, the fun one, the one that jokes around. So you have him, and then you have an interesting kind of joking partner with him in The Flash. So that's quite cool. Even though, again, I really like the TV version of The Flash, after seeing the trailer, I'm okay with this new Flash. I think this new Flash will be great. He'll be interesting. He'll be fun. He's just like a kind of a teenager that has super speed and is interesting. And again, they kind of are showing, flexing their muscle and showing that kind of slow motion aspects of it. So I think that's really cool. Because I really like that slow motion kind of shots, kind of like what they did with
Quicksilver.
Quicksilver, exactly. Yeah. So that they saw that, and I guess they copied it, and they knew it was very popular with fans. So it's good that they're keeping that in. And then you see a little bit of Cyborg as well. It's interesting that they chose Cyborg because he's more of a Teen Titans kind of character, but I think he'll fit in well. I'm not sure how his superpowers are going to work, because kind of like he could turn his body into like sound cannons and stuff, so it'll be interesting to see. Maybe again it'll be explore more of the alien technology, but he seems cool, and I guess this will be a very good one. I didn't see one of my other favorite superheroes. I didn't see Green Lantern there. So that's quite interesting. I don't know if he will come in later, or if he'll be ignored in this movie, and maybe in Justice League 2 or something he'll come in. Maybe to explore kind of like space, and hopefully, again, the Justice League main kind of villain, Darkseid. But it's good, and we see Wonder Woman. We don't see Superman, so that's kind of a little bit of a bummer. But
we know he's going to be there, because they released a picture of the Justice League, and in the picture, the first official photo of the characters all together, Superman is in that picture. And they did bring Henry Cavill out on stage at Comic-Con when introducing them, so they're kind of letting us know, yes, Superman's going to be in it. We know it's pretty obvious. So
So that's good. And yeah, exciting. Can't wait. And hopefully, again, with the recent successes that DC is having, this Justice League movie would do quite well. We just cross our fingers. Hopefully Suicide Squad really hits it out of the park, and then people could start really taking DC a little bit more seriously, mm-hmm. especially after many fans were disappointed with the recent films from DC. Hopefully they can start turning things around. And again, I'm on the same page as you were. The DC films so far that came out were really great. So for me, it's more of the same. So it's going to be great.
Yeah. How about you, Kev?
Yeah, I agree with Derek. And I actually really, really enjoyed this trailer and thought it was a lot of fun. And especially the Flash moments. And a little bit of Aquaman, you know, they had to throw in the fish joke at the end.
Yeah.
Which was really fun. I really like how they kind of changed Batman's suit. When you first told me that they were going to add a little bit of blue into his costume.
I didn't see the blue, though. But
I did. Oh, I saw it. It's faint, but it's like a very dark navy blue.
I see.
So it didn't obstruct the costume. It actually suited him well. I mean, it was only a glimpse of it, so we'll find out for sure when we see the movie. But I saw it. It didn't bother me so far. Yeah, and can't wait for this team up. I heard that Green Lantern won't be in this one. Is that true?
Yep.
Yeah. So I hope he does show up soon in maybe the second one, or I don't know. I would like to see him. So yeah, really enjoyed the trailer. So yeah, that's it.
Okay, so now that we got those trailers out of the way, let's talk about Constantine. Matt Ryan is returning to the role of Constantine once again. He was in the live-action Constantine TV series. He then appeared on Arrow for one episode. Fans are hoping to see more of him. Well, in this case, they're going to have to hear more of him because it was just announced this week that he will be in the next DC animated film, Justice League Dark, where Constantine, Swamp Thing, Zatanna, and a whole bunch of others will be in it together. And they were planning on a live-action movie of this with Guillermo del Toro, the director of the Hellboy films and Pan's Labyrinth and the first Pacific Rim movie. He was supposed to direct the live-action version of this. But I guess it didn't go through, and they're going with animated instead. And they have confirmed that other DC characters like Superman and Wonder Woman will have cameos in it. Batman will play the bigger role, helping out the Justice League Dark. What do we think about Matt Ryan returning? Derek?
Well, he's a fan favorite. A lot of people really liked his Constantine, even though that the TV show didn't really do so well. I guess maybe it could be the writer's fault on that, because I really liked the first episode, and then it kind of just fell off a little bit. But he's a great Constantine, great character. He has a great voice, and yeah, I guess he would do well if his character is brought back in any fashion. So yeah, and fans really reacted positively as when he was brought back on Arrow and when he was brought to The Flash. So
oh, he wasn't brought to The Flash.
Well, maybe he's going to be.
maybe.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, they could definitely use that character more. And he would be cool. Who knows? Maybe they'll even bring him to the big screen.
Well, yeah, that's possible.
That would be his ultimate revenge, ultimate retribution for being kicked off of TV is if he's brought into the movies. So.
What about you, Kev? Are you excited to see Matt Ryan doing the voice of Constantine now in an animated movie?
I really enjoyed that actor. I really enjoyed that TV show that he was in. I was sad when I found out that it got canceled. I wished that there was more seasons to that show, but unfortunately, no. That's it for me.
Yeah, I agree. I can't wait to see watch this movie and hear his voice doing that character. I would be excited for like any of a lot of the TV show actors. Like Stephen Amell, I think would be cool to do an animated Green Arrow movie. Same thing with Grant Gustin as the Flash. I think they all play it great live action. Even though animation is different from live action, I can still hear their voices somewhat on an animated, and they have been doing an animated versions of those on a web series. I haven't seen it because it's not available in Canada, but in the US on the CW Seed, which is an online streaming service where CW shows some special shows or some shows that they have own, whatever. Apparently they're even showing the Constantine TV series on it. They have a web series called Vixen, which is also connected to Arrow, The Flash, and all those guys. And in Vixen, Stephen Amell and Grant Gustin have both voiced Flash and Green Arrow on that show. So I wish I could see it, but unfortunately, no. So this is actually really cool that Constantine is, and we're gonna see him teaming up with Batman. So that's what's gonna make it even more cool. But now we can talk about our spoiler review of The Killing Joke. So whoever listens to this, I hope you've seen The Killing Joke already.
Speaking of Batman.
Sorry. The Killing Joke comes out on Blu-ray and DVD this Tuesday. Yeah, this Tuesday. So I'm gonna be buying it because I thought the movie was good. And we'll give our overall thoughts later. First, let's talk about the good things about this movie. What do we think that were some good aspects about it? I guess I'll start off with this one. I will say I really liked Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy and Tara Strong as the voices of Joker, Batman, and Batgirl. I thought it was great hearing these voices again that we've all grown up with throughout the years, especially Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy, because those guys are amazing. It's good to note that Tara Strong was actually not the original voice of Batgirl. She did the voice in the revamp animated when they went to season four, I guess, when they redesigned all the characters. She was that voice, and she was the voice. She also came back briefly in Batman Beyond: Return of the Joker. So it's been a lot of years since she last did the character, and it was great to hear them all doing this. I want to save some stuff for you guys to talk about too. So, Derek, let's get with you.
Oh, it was great. I actually have the comic book, The Killing Joke. So we're gonna just talk about the good stuff.
The good stuff only, yeah.
All right. So, yeah, the good stuff is again, it's a great adaptation of the original comic book live on the big screen. And when you read a comic book or read a book and then you see the live action, it is completely different. Like, as for me, one part in the graphic novel is the song that the Joker sings to Jim Gordon, and it's not really as impactful in the book, but when you see it in the movie, it seems a little bit better for me to at least comprehend. So, because I don't really get the tune when I'm reading someone singing, but as I hear it live, you could hear the tune, you could hear the music, and that's what really brings it to life. So again, and they even showed clips in the beginning and towards the end of kind of the making of the film. I wish there was a little bit more on the animation, making the animation, and maybe a little bit more on the voice acting as well. Because they did have a little bit in the beginning, but it would have been nice to see all the voice actors doing their parts as well. It kind of felt a little bit cheated that they just shown mostly the music. But yeah, that first part where they it kind of threw me off a bit too when they went right into Mark Hamill and talking about how he started his career in Star Wars and then he transitioned to Batman. So it's kind of interesting. I was like, wait a minute. I thought this was at the end of the movie. But it was still cool. It's still interesting getting to see Mark Hamill and how much love he has for the character and passion he has for his work and his job. And then we get into the movie. And the movie, like, again, a lot of people bashed it the beginning on how we will get to that part later. But I like that at least they tried to put some more story into it because the book seemed kind of short. And when I first heard they were making this movie, I was like, but the book took me like very quickly. I went through it very fast. It was a quick read. How are they going to make a movie out of this? So it was good that they at least added some more and created some kind of atmosphere. They tried to, so I applaud them for taking that because it was a risk. And you know, even though I don't think they got as well reception as they wanted out of it, at least they tried to do something. And they also added a little bit more. Like I know they're up against holding the book true to its name, and they really wanted to show the true version of the book. We all respect that. They didn't really drastically change a couple scenes when they were going through the book, but they did add a little bit here and there that really made it a little bit better. As in terms of the carnival individuals in the carnival, the freaks helping Joker out to kind of test Batman and really beat Batman up. So they didn't have that in the book. The freaks were kind of just tormenting Gordon. So having them fight Batman was good too, and it made a little bit more sense having them do that as well. And then they kept, again, the iconic ending. They kept all the iconic scenes there. And it was, again, it was interesting, well animated, well drawn. And again, like you mentioned, the voice acting was great. We all know those voice actors, and we all love those voice actors. So it was good to see them back and do, I guess, one of the most iconic Batman graphic novels out there. Like The Killing Joke is always in everyone's top five or top 10. So it was great seeing that this again, and it's kind of sad now because like Mark Hamill was mentioning in the kind of the behind the scenes, he really wanted to end off with the high note, and I think he did, definitely did. And but it's kind of sad again because you don't know if he'll ever be back. And he always wants to take it to the next level, and you kind of worry that this is probably the ultimate level he took it to, and then we might not see him again. So it's sad, but it was good in a great way. It's worth a look. If you haven't read the book, I feel that this movie will be even better because you don't really know what you're expecting, and you'll get the whole aspect of the storyline. And because the way it's written, Alan Moore, the way he wrote it, it was just fantastic. It was everything. It just flowed well, and it made you think like about madness and thinking about like, you know, some people could have a bad day and then they could end up going crazy. And even in real life, people have events that significantly change them and make them go crazy, like, you know, reduce them to depression or to other aspects, maybe drugs and alcohol. So it's kind of interesting how they, and then he wanted to prove it to Batman via Gordon, and Batman said, no, not everyone is like this. Not everyone would change just because something bad happens in their life. They will still fight for good, still stay the same, and they still have hope, even though that you think hope will be lost forever. And again, they show like I feel like I'm reviewing the book. They show the Joker's past, which is interesting again. It's one of the pasts of the Joker that many people respect, and many people find that's the true origin story of the Joker. So that's something that's very interesting to look at if you haven't known the origin story. And then again, they have that iconic line. saying that, well, this could be one of my potential pasts, because if I want to have a past, I'd rather it be multiple choice. So you're
thinking,
oh, so
I
is
like
this
that line too. Yeah.
Really his past, or is this not his past? I don't know, but it's interesting that it's mentioned in this way. And then again, I guess I'll talk about the ambiguous ending, where the Joker and Batman are, Batman defeats the Joker. The Joker is up against the wall, and then he's like, okay, take me in. And then after Batman, he tells Batman a joke. And this is part of the whole movie that they're alluding to. Batman doesn't want to kill the Joker, and he doesn't want the Joker to kill him, but he feels that it's inevitable, it's going to happen one of these days. And then he wants to tell Joker that at least he tried to reach out to him so it doesn't come to that, but he knew it's going to come to that. And then towards the end, the Joker tells this joke, they're laughing, the camera pans away, and then all you hear is Batman laughing as he puts his arms on the Joker. So yeah. Some people construe the ending as maybe Batman has killed the Joker in that final scene. This is their final story.
Maybe.
Or we don't know. It could just be the fact that Batman just took him in, or the Joker, whatever, disappeared at that time. So it's interesting, and I've seen podcasts done on this. I know Chris Hardwick had one, I think, or maybe it was even Kevin Smith, where they were talking about the Killing Joke and talking about the whole story and the ending. And it's still being argued today as what actually happened. So it's pretty cool.
That is cool.
That's my long-winded response to this. Everything good.
It's okay. We need some details in here. What about you, Kevin? What did you think? Some good things about the movie, by the way. Remember good things.
Well, I think I only have good things to say about this film. I actually really enjoyed it. So, maybe there's one now thinking a little bit more, but I'll get to it later. I enjoyed it. They added a little bit extra to the story, which is fine to me. I like the adaptation of the story and how they kept true to the comic book, and how they, like, Joker's little storyline, and like Derek has mentioned, his how it's blurry with the song as well. The song was really good. Not much else to say other than that I really, really enjoyed it. So yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was, to add on to what you guys are saying, I thought there were a lot of creepy moments, specifically when the Joker shows up. Like, I was creeped out sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, he was going far, man. This is the farthest. I'm still not sure if he raped Barbara Gordon, though, but or
it's
not.
It's kind of alluded to. It's something that they didn't want to show. They wanted to keep it a mystery. So as a reader or as a person watching the film, you think, like, did he rape her? Because they said she was naked and he took pictures of her nakedness.
Yeah, exactly.
So they didn't show that. They didn't show her fully nude on screen. And I guess I don't know if that was a minus point, because I was like, this movie's rated R. They could go that way and just show, like, a boob or something. But they didn't. So I guess that's fine. But it kept the mystery of it.
Because I thought that was also the reason why they had... This is our spoiler review, so I'm just going to get into it now. Batgirl and Batman have sex on a rooftop. Because I thought the idea... Because they said they wanted to make it more personal for Batman at the end. And I thought the idea, well, if Joker raped Batgirl, his girlfriend, that would piss off anybody even more, you know?
Yeah.
And you hear of shit like that happening, where the girlfriend is tied up or whatever, and somebody rapes her while in front of their boyfriends or whatever. And that's scary shit to think about. And so the idea of the Joker, that someone that sick doing something to a character like that, that creeps me out, man. And so there were a lot of creepy elements. Not just that, but the Joker himself is just a creepy villain in this. And you gotta give an applause to Mark Hamill, who also does a creepy performance with the voice aspect too. That's also helping it. and the animation, like you said. So, I mean, it was really well done, I thought. And, you know, I want to talk about the Batgirl thing in the beginning. The first half of this movie starts off as a Batgirl movie. And a lot of people I've been hearing have been complaining about the first half mostly. The second half is where people start to say it gets better. But the first half, I think, is important for this movie, especially if it's somebody who doesn't know anything about Barbara Gordon. It's good for them to have that backstory and understand who Batgirl is. Now, are there stuff in the beginning that they could have done better? Yeah, of course. But I think it is important to have a better understanding, because if you start where the comic book starts, then you have Barbara Gordon show up. And if you're not too familiar with that character, you're not going to know who she is. So I did feel that the beginning portion was important to Batgirl.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And just, it could have been done better. That I agree with. And it could have been tied into the Killing Joke story better. But that it felt like two separate movies. So now we'll move into the negative things starting with this, because that's where I think one of the big problems is with this movie, is that it does feel like two separate films, and maybe that's what's hurting it, really. And with that being said, too, I don't like the idea of Batgirl and Batman having sex, because I don't know, I think this is something Bruce Timm, the producer of all these animated movies and the shows from the early 90s, because he even put that in Batman Beyond. Batman Beyond, they kind of alluded to the idea of Barbara and Bruce having a romantic relationship back in the day. And that idea bothers me, because we know Dick Grayson and...
All right.
We know that Barbara Gordon and Dick Grayson had a relationship in the comics as well. And to me, I guess maybe I'm a Dick and Barbara shipper, I don't know. But I like that relationship. And the idea of Bruce banging Barbara, that idea to me bothers me, because it's like, so you're having sex with your best friend, your surrogate son, his girlfriend, or his ex-girlfriend, or whatever she is at the time. That bothers me, because I feel like Bruce wouldn't do that to his partner. Now, we never saw Dick in this movie, obviously, so we can maybe pretend for the sake of the movie that Dick maybe doesn't exist in this universe. I don't know, but I think he does exist somewhere, because Robin and Nightwing is a very important factor. But, yeah, the idea of Bruce and Barbara doing it bothers me because of the father-son aspect that him and Nightwing have. And I feel like Bruce wouldn't go behind Dick's back and do that. But then again, you know, Dick wasn't in the story, like I said, and maybe he doesn't exist in this universe. I don't know. Tell me your thoughts. Derek, you want to go first?
Well, I guess continuing on what you're saying, yeah, it seems like Batman's more of a father figure. And again, Barbara is kind of like his daughter or his younger partner. Because I don't know the age gap between the two. Mm-hmm. It seems like Batman
She was still in college. So, and Bruce is clearly not a college guy.
So he could be what, 30, 35?
I'd say, yeah, late 30s, early 40s maybe. She's early 20s.
So again, there, that's the age gap seems kind of weird. That's kind of strange. And especially since Bruce said, like, I have all this experience and you don't. So it's kind of is weird in that aspect. But just the sex scene seemed kind of random. It just came out of nowhere. It's like they were thinking about it backwards. Like, they wanted to put a sex scene, but they didn't know how or, like, when. Or they wanted to maybe end off on it. So it seemed kind of strange. Because it's just like they were fighting. And it was because Bruce was... he was worried about her. He didn't want her to get involved with this criminal who was obviously targeting her specifically and making advances at her. And he said, well, this person's really dangerous if they're attacking you on an emotional level, and I don't want you to be part of it because it seems like they will really get under your skin and really make you make a mistake one time. And then she's like, no, I'm very independent. And then they start fighting, and then all of a sudden sex happens. It's weird.
Yeah.
It would have been better, again, like, because Batman doesn't seem like the kind of character to just have sex. Like, maybe Bruce Wayne will have sex just to keep up that celebrity kind of persona that he wants to make people believe he's just a playboy. But as Batman, he seems like more of a person that is to himself, person that is brooding and dark and really wants to bring justice to the world. And then just the sex just seemed weird. And then they've poked fun at the sex after, with Barbara talking to her gay friend.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the sex was amazing. And, oh, but I still feel weird about it. It was strange.
It was a little funny, I thought.
But. Keep reminding it. But then this is not what Barbara's character should be about. It should be about a strong female character. This is should be kind of like a Wonder Woman. And they spent so hard in the, I heard on podcasts and other aspects, that they wanted to make Barbara her own character, make her strong. And they, again, bringing that back up again in this movie kind of ruined it again, throwing in the fans' face that, oh, Barbara is nothing. She's just like a female character, you know, and only sex is her weapon. But then at the end, they kind of show her as Oracle, and it kind of, again, this is what fixed and made Barbara her own strong, independent character, one that is a strong female. So that's really what they kind of ended off in. And I think that was good that they did that, at least that they showed it. It's unfortunate a lot of people left in the movie theater, didn't get really to see that part. But yeah, that's what's strange about it. And I guess we're going to stay on this topic, and then we go to Kevin, and then we could talk about more.
Because
I find there's a little bit more that was kind of just bothered me. But again, yeah, just this whole scene on the rooftop. And again, it was strange because why would they just do it out in the open like that? It just seems weird. Wouldn't they just go back to the Batcave and just in the safety of the Batcave? Because, I don't know, sex outside seems kind of strange, and something that Batman, as he's paranoid with all his villains probably tracking him or knowing where he is, he would probably not want to be exposed like that in an outdoor setting.
Yeah, but then Alfred would come in and...
they could just kick out Alfred. I don't know. It's just weird. It's just that...
Yeah.
I understand that having that aspect of the relationship and then having Joker assume that he raped her makes it more impactful in Batman, but you don't really see it too much. You don't see Batman's like, oh, my lover got raped by my arch villain. They make it up to the fan to decipher that, to think about that and reflect about that after the fact.
But
I don't know. It just seems kind of strange, but you know, it was fine. Like, it's not a huge negative, but if you are going to point to the major negative of the film, it's that.
Yeah, and also the fact that, you know, it's not only maybe Dick's. I feel like it should be Dick's girlfriend, Barbara and Dick, but also the fact that it's his best friend's daughter. Commissioner Gordon is his best friend, so yeah, I'm gonna have sex with his daughter. That's pretty much what he was doing. Kevin, get to you now.
I agree with you guys. The whole beginning was a bit useless, and I really agree with Derek about the whole...
Not completely useless. But
well, yeah, it wasn't completely...
That aspect.
It built up the story. Sorry, forgive me. I apologize for that.
It
built up the story, but I was kind of a little disappointed because there was not much flavor I guess, into it. There was that obsessed guy with Batgirl, but it didn't really make sense at times.
I agree.
I mean, it was a bit too long, I guess, but I guess they needed the filler so they can play into a build-up to the rest of the story. I kind of wish that they played around with Joker missing and then, you know, his escape away, and we see the escape, and then Batman only finds out when he finds out that he escaped.
Yeah.
You know, they could have done that, and that would have been a good, like, a good blend within the story. But the sex scene, because I'm going to talk about it because you guys were talking about it.
Okay.
It did bother me a little bit. I think I mentioned this already, but whatever. But it didn't bother me so much because I guess it was supposed to be like a spontaneous moment. They're both wrapped up in this feeling that they just connected at that moment. I guess that's what they were trying to go for on their defense, but it did feel a little bit out of place.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's forced.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we all agree on that. And yeah, the villain, like you said, Kev, was pretty weak. The villain in the beginning, the obsessed guy. I didn't like that character either. I'm like, why couldn't you get a more interesting character like Two-Face or something like that? Why did it have to be some random crook who had an obsession with her?
It would have been fine if they melded the two storylines together in the beginning, like showing,
or that too.
Yeah, then I would accept it a little bit more because you're having you're setting up Joker's escape, and you're knowing that it's still part of the same storyline, and you're having this other guy who's just random, and you know that he's just there for thing. But the problem was, in my opinion, they were kind of building up that he would be the villain of the story when really he wasn't. So that was my problem with it.
Yeah, and that's why I said earlier that it felt like two different movies because of that.
Yeah.
The first half feels like a Batgirl movie, and then the second half feels like a Joker movie. It's like...
Yeah.
Oh, and I want to...
Didn't feel connected at all.
I want to mention something that Derek said about female lead characters, and yeah, I totally agree. I think you can build a strong female character without the sex appeal. Like, what's his name? I'm forgetting his name now. I'm sorry. Joss Whedon.
Oh, Joss Whedon. Yeah.
I think he does female characters the best because he doesn't really add the sex appeal in there. Like, he does it as, like, you know, sprinkling extra pepper into your meal, to just, like, a little bit of spice to just spice it up. But he builds female characters so well that they feel human. And sometimes a lot of people forget or don't know how to do that. And I think that was the case here. It felt a little, her sex appeal was a little too much. But that only came in my opinion, that only came into play after she had sex with Batman.
Yeah.
After I think that's where they kind of lost it.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, like, again, they could have made the both films tie together because this character could have been part of the Joker's escape. Like, we were talking about after the movie.
Mm-hmm.
If he kind of was that person wearing the makeup when Batman was talking to him in the cell, that would have at least bridged the two storylines together or somehow. Or if you show him making the Joker escape or something. Or, again, when I was first looking at the beginning part, it kind of threw me off. And then I was like, maybe this guy is the Joker. Maybe he is one of the versions of the Joker somehow.
Yeah.
Because he has that long face and that hair. So you're like, oh, maybe this is the version of the Joker that is like the confident, kind of crime lord, and then he somehow turns into the Joker, and that's how they are going to spin this beginning part off. But he doesn't. It doesn't seem. It just seems like he goes away. He gets arrested. He goes to jail, and then he's like, "Barbara, I still love you." And then that's it. And then he kind of disappears from that. He doesn't get addressed again. It's just like a random person that just messes up with the crime family. I'm not even sure which crime family it was. If it was the Falcone family or not. I just kind of forget from the film, but it didn't seem as important either. So it's just tough. And then after that, Barbara kind of randomly just quits. She's like, "Well, I'm done being Batgirl," after she has her romantic relationship with Bruce. And again, that's kind of abrupt. She just puts up her cowl, and then she's like, "Yeah, I stopped." So again, that was kind of strange how that happened too, that she just stopped after they had sex. It was just weird. But yeah, and then after Joker came to know that she was Batgirl, and we don't know how. How did he know that she was Batgirl too? They don't explain that. That seemed kind of random too, that the Joker knew that she was Batgirl somehow.
No, he didn't recognize her as Batgirl, did he?
Well,
He never called her that.
maybe he didn't, but then how did he know where Jim Gordon lives and stuff like that too? So it's kind of strange. He just appeared at their door. He's like, "I'm here."
That's how the comic goes too, though. Even in the comic, I don't think he knew her identity.
But they could have explained it a little bit, like either he knows her identity or he somehow figured out where Gordon
Gordon was.
lives.
That's what I thought. I thought it was just he knew where Gordon was, so
So they
he.
could have explained in the comic too, like he was maybe following the Gordon when he escaped.
Yeah, they could have set all that up in the beginning. I think
Yeah.
we're on the same page on that, all of us.
There's many things that they could have set up, explained a little bit more in the comic book with the beginning, and that would have probably made the storyline a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree. So with that being said, I think we've talked very spoilerish about this movie. Let's give our rating, our overall rating on this film. Out of 10, what would you guys give it? Kevin?
This movie was really good. So I give it, I think I give it a 9 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10? 8, 9 out of 10. I'm indecisive still.
Undecisive.
8.3.
8.3. I'm giving
No.
it a 8.3, Derek?
No, that's not my score.
Oh, I thought that was your score. So what's your score?
My score, I actually go a little bit lower. I just feel that again, they had that source material. They adapted it quite well, but they could have just added more. If they wanted to add more, they could have done a better job with that. But it's still a good movie. So, like, I'm not going to give it a terrible score, but I'm not going to give it a great score either. So I like to give it like a 7 or a 7.5 out of 10.
That's exactly what I'm going with too, 7.5 out of 10. I liked it. I just thought it's not my favorite DC animated movie. I totally put like movies like Batman, Mask of the Phantasm, Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker, Justice League, The Flashpoint Paradox. There's a lot of other DC animated movies I put way over this. As a movie that brought back Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill, I thought that it was great hearing them again. I just felt the movie overall felt very disconnected the first half and the second half, and that's why I'm giving it a 7.5. But I thought when it got to the Joker stuff, that's where it got really good.
Like if they made it connect, it probably would have got an
I
eight
think so too,
or a
yeah. But
nine.
it felt like a two-part episode of a TV show. That was my biggest problem. So that was our thoughts, guys. If you are watching this on YouTube, because I've been posting the episodes now of our podcast on YouTube, please like this video. If you are listening to it on iTunes, please subscribe. Make sure you're subscribed to our iTunes channel. We are going to be signing off now. Derek, sign off first.
Okay, my name is Derek. It was great being here, and my plug is watch the Olympics.
How about you, Kevin? Plug out.
I'm Kevin. I'm obviously Kevin Jardel, and you can follow me on Twitter, Kevin, KVE, sorry, KEVEN underscore Jardel, JORDAO, at Twitter, and you can also check me out on my website, kevinjardel.com, yeah.
And this is David Jardel, and we are hopefully going to be reviewing Suicide Squad next week. We already got our tickets. Woo! Very excited about it. It's going to be awesome, and we'll probably do a spoiler review on that as well. And check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/DavidJordao, JORDAO. And podcast, Facebook, Twitter, at iCrazyDavy, you know all that stuff. If you're watching it on YouTube, it's going to be all in the description box below. And with that being said,
subscribe.
Subscribe and take care.
Bye.
Bye.